Greetings, salutations, and welcome to the channel for all your relationship needs. Too long our women have been left out in the cold, desolate with the deception fed to them about who they are, how they should live, what they should do and say, even where they should go, and who they should choose to live their lives with. On this excursion, we will be dissecting and presenting the authentic truth, revealing the illusions of the world, as women are situated to operate from a position of strength. There is someone who cares about you and your future. My name is Kareem Ainsley, and I have been given charge to ensure that females are transformed into ladies and are cultivated into princesses to be prepared as a queen for her king. Enjoy and embrace the awakening as you listen, like, comment, share, subscribe, and turn your notification on so you will be in the know.
The topic that we will assert ourselves to begin a dissection on is healed or hurting. For those who have been journeying with us since our very first production, you would have been by now in a state of realization that we have been working incrementally in upgrading the content quality for visual stimulation and interest captivation. The first 10 productions were lessons each individual needs to learn independently without interference. As such, the method of delivery without visual distraction was employed. Now, as we advance, we have some exciting new news. We will be adding a new segment to our production line called Dear Preacher, in which questions, scenarios, and incidents within the Caribbean diaspora and Jamaica in particular will be explored. We will be engaging in deconstruction, reconstruction, and grading for the purpose of edification, elevation, encouragement, empowerment, and emancipation. As such, we have added a disclaimer which you are among the first group to visualize as it appears on the screen right now. The beauty about this new development is that you will now be able to experience these moments with me on camera during the dissection process. Isn't that amazing? We will be having a face-to-face conversation. The intention of this segment is to put the things we have learned into practical perspective to determine the level of the relationship quality on a scale of 0 through 10. This will provide you with an insight as to how you also can aid others in breaking down their relationship and allow you to determine the degree of compliance that you may have in accordance to the direction that will make you and them better and not bitter. Feel free to share this information so others can be blessed. It is time that women are treated as the queens they are. Now, let us get into it. Healed or hurting? The content that we have gone through so far, to many it was new. To some it was enlightenment. To others it was controversial. However, the 10 previous sessions were designed in an effort to challenge us to look at the picture from a broader perspective, which is a basic requirement for anyone who is interested in getting into a relationship that actually has a future that spans beyond the standards of mortals and operate on the standards of the divine. The people in the world has caused the world to become corrupted. As such, many people move around up and about with the burden of hurt. With this burden, they share it with everyone they come in contact. However, there is healing for that hurting. When hurting individuals are healed, the contact will be the embodiment of love, peace, and joy. From the beginning of time, women have been the target of the enemy, especially due to her emotional vulnerabilities, which is oftentimes exploited and trampled upon. Hurt is the lingering residue of trauma that is yet to be dealt with, creating the cycle of abuse. This abuse cycle is said to have four phases or four stages. Stage 1, tension building. Tension increases. There is a breakdown of communication. The victim becomes fearful and feels the need to placate the abuser. Stage 2, the incident. Verbal, emotional, and physical abuse occurs. Anger, blaming, arguing, threats, intimidation. All these are placed in the pot as they are allowed to bubble, waiting on that release. Then, not so long after, there is the ushering into stage 3, the reconciliation. The abuser apologizes, gives excuse, blames the victim, denies that the abuse occurred, or says that it wasn't as bad as the victim claims. Then this story is bought, which ushers into stage 4, the calm. The incident is forgiven. No abuse is taking place at this time, and it is considered once again the honeymoon phase. If the root of the abuse is not dealt with, this cycle will be allowed to repeat, and the abuser will continue the abusive relationship, while the one who is abused will receive that abuse onto themselves. The one being abused may find themselves rationalizing and justifying the abuse, even though there is no grounds for the abuse to take place. And because this person lingers with hurt, there is a high likelihood that they will snap at others, they will hurt others without realizing that the hurting that they are transferring is based on the abusive relationship that they are in. The one being abused, the one being hurt, goes through the cycle of optimism, excitement, then there is a thrill and the euphoria that is surrounded by the relationship. They become anxious, they start living in denial, they have a fear, and this fear can lead them into the pits of depression. They may start having their panic attack, capitulations taking place. They then go into a deeper state of depression. In this state, they feel as though they are useless, they are unworthy, and they believe at this time that it would be appropriate to nullify and neutralize their existence. If anyone causes you to feel inferior, if anyone causes you to feel unworthy, unloved, unlovable, it is a clear indication that you are being abused. It is a clear indication that you are hurting. It is a clear indication that you require healing. And it is a clear indication that it is time for you to pack your bags and go. And you may be saying, no, I can't go. I love this person. The thing about love, you see, you have to be able to understand its holistic operation. If someone is going to put you in a position in which it is going to cause harm to you or to them and the relationship and derail you from the high order of living and operation that the Creator gave unto you, then it means that this person lacks love. The one who is abusing has no relationship with love. The one who is receiving the abuse must be willing to exercise love so that they can move themselves out of that relationship. It is because you love someone at times that you have to let them go. Do you really love yourself, or do you want to take the abuse until you are no more? But even in your pit of deepest depression, I can assure you that there is hope. There is hope in King Jesus. He will bring you the relief that you need. He will restore your optimism and allow you to receive that which you were called for. In order to receive the gifts of God, you have to let go of that which is menial. You have to let go of them who are not aligning to the will of God. You have to give them up so you can receive not that which is right by the world's standard, but that which is righteous by God's standard. In this cycle and state of abuse, there is the likelihood of you feeling loss. You may be in shock, denial. You may even feel a sense of numbness. You may even be overwhelmed with anger, guilt, and try to incorporate the avoidance strategy. But sometimes to deal with your situation, you have to face it head on. Acknowledge that it exists so you can navigate through it. Then for some, they may begin down the road of bargaining with a higher power. And then for some, there will be nights when you'll be wet in your bed, not with urination, not with nocturnal emission, but with tears. The tears of the pain flowing down your cheeks, onto your pillow, leaving its stain. This is active grieving. There may be fear, there may be anxiety, but you may still be holding tight to the past. But you must start to let go in order to reach where you need to be. And yes, you will have a state of depression in which there is despair. But in order to move from your dark room into the room of light, you must be willing to let go and let God. Then you may have the survival guilt, but eventually you will accept that which is. You will accept the fate that you deserve better. Your life needs to be better and not bitter. Then you'll adjust as life continues. But you know for a fact that things will never be the same again, because you will not choose to walk the road you walked that caused the distress. Women were hurt in the biblical era. Eve was emotionally violated in the Garden of Eden by Satan, as we see in Genesis 3 and verse 13. And the Lord God said unto the woman, "What is this that thou hast done?" And the woman said, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." There are persons out there who are trying to deceive you. There are persons out there who act as though they are your savior. There are persons out there who are in a state of pretentiousness. They are not here to help you. They are here to destroy you. But you need the spirit of discernment to circumvent the hate, to circumvent their hurt, to circumvent their presence. Had Eve not been in the presence of the serpent, it wouldn't have had a chance to violate her in the way that it did. Had Eve been beside her husband, she would have been in a better position. It is the intention of the Creator that each individual drinks from their own cistern. If we look at the story of Absalom and Tamar, which comes to us from 2 Samuel 13 verses 1 through 21, we see that Absalom was a son of David, and he had a sister whose name was Tamar, and Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin. And Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeon's, David's brother, and Jonadab was very subtle. So this friend influenced the king's son to do something that was dishonorable to his sister. He fell sick for his sister, Tamar. This is the same practice or the same concept of falling in love. But was it love or was it lust? Because she was a virgin and he desired to take her virginity. So what he did? He fell sick. He asked his father to send his sister. His sister came in, his guards went out. He raped his sister, tearing up all her virtue, ripping her in the most sacred and innermost part of her being. And when he was done, he sent her out, taking away her covering of many colors, which was given to the virgins in those days. He closed the door behind as she left, leaving his own sister, who he claimed to have loved, on the curb. Then she cried home. But that was the beginning of his end, cause he was cut down and eventually was no more because of the evil he did. Sometimes the friends you allow yourself to be around will cause you to fall in a state of disreproof, a state in which you do things which are outside of your character. Because you allow them to infiltrate your mind, you become subservient to them, and they are not in alignment with the will of God. Those friends can take your life. Those friends can set you up. Those friends can destroy you. These are friends that we need to stay away from. We also see another story in which Dinah, in Genesis 34, it reveals to us that she was a young girl. When Jacob's family returned to Canaan, she likely was just reaching marriage age. When the family stopped for a time in a city of Shechem, Dinah went looking for other girls to talk with. Tragically, as she approached, she became violated by a kind which had no business with her kind. And there, she was abused. She was hurted. She felt devastated. Imagine going to look for friends, and in looking for friends, you are violated. The place is that you go impact the directionality of your life. So we have to be careful. Then we see the story of Lot's daughters. In Genesis 19 and verse 30 through 38, we see where Lot was in Sodom and Gomorrah, and he had to flee that city because it was going to be destroyed. So Lot went up out of Zorah and dwelt in the mountains, and his two daughters with him. For he feared to dwell in Zorah, and he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. And the firstborn said unto the younger, Our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come in upon to us. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And the firstborn bore a son, and called his name Moab. The same is the father of the Moabites to this day. And the younger, she also bare a son, and called his name Benami. The same is the father of the children of Amnon unto this day. The catastrophe that Lot's daughters endured was due in part because of their mental destabilization while they were in Sodom and Gomorrah. The alternative lifestyle practices were embedded in their mind. They were sexually scarred, they were intellectually impotent, and they were spiritually lame. And because of the prior hurt, the prior trauma, the prior drama, they did this evil. The person who is hurt will continue on hurting. The hurting will never stop until there is healing. Yes, there is another story I want to bring your attention to. Rahab. Rahab was a prostitute who lived in the Canaanite city of Jericho, and she became a worshiper of Jehovah God. Rahab hid two Israelites who were spying out the land. She did this because she had heard reports of how the Israelites' God, Jehovah, delivered his people from Egypt and later from an attack by a tribe called the Amorites. Rahab helped the spies and pleaded with them to spare her and her family when the Israelites came to destroy Jericho. They agreed, but on certain conditions. She would keep their mission secret. She and her family would remain inside her house when the Israelites attacked, and she would hang a scarlet cord from her window to identify her home. Rahab obeyed every instruction, and she and her family survived when the Israelites captured Jericho.
You see, Rahab was hurting as she was in a world of prostitution. But she heard about a God, a big God, the Jehovah God, and she became intrigued by this God. She, being intrigued, caused her to desire a relationship with him. Rahab later married an Israelite and became an ancestor of both King David and Jesus Christ. As we can see in Joshua 2 verses 1 through 24, Joshua 6 and verses 25, and Matthew 1 verses 5, 6 and 16. It is important for us to take away that Rahab serves as an outstanding example of faith, which can be dissected in Hebrews 11 verses 30 and 31 and James 2 verses 25. Her story illustrates that God is both forgiving and impartial. He will bless those who trust in him regardless of their backgrounds. Regardless if you were a prostitute, regardless if you were a harlot, regardless if you were a concubine, regardless if you were a voluptuous woman, regardless of what your past was, he is willing and able to restore you. He doesn't want you to live in a state of hurting. He wants you to be healed, restored, revived, and renewed. And if God can work through a prostitute and is willing to embed her in the lineage of kings, in the lineage of royalty, what more can a good and awesome God do for you? He is here asking, he is here petitioning for you to come to him to be healed. You see, when women are hurting, it is not a good situation, because hurt people hurt other people. Let's look at Potiphar's wife. Potiphar's wife played a small but notorious role in Joseph's life. He sent Joseph into the prison because he refused to lie with her. Then we had Delilah. She was the woman who the Israelite judge Samson fell in lust with. As we see in Judges 16 verses 4 and 5, these women were hurting, and when the women are hurting, they tend to hurt the men. Then we have Jezebel. She was the wife of an Israelite king, Ahab. She was a non-Israelite and did not worship Jehovah. Instead, she worshiped the Canaanites' god Baal. Jezebel is a warning example. She was morally corrupt and unscrupulous, that her name has become a symbol for a shameless, immoral, and unrestrained woman. Jezebel. No one wants to be associated as a Jezebel. These are the situations which women who are disconnected from God fall into. Then we have Hareb's wife. In Judges 4 verse 21 through 26, it says, "Then Jehal, Hareb's wife, took a nail of the tent and took an hammer and in her hand and went softly unto him and smote the nail into his temple and fastened it into the ground. For he was fast asleep and weary, so he died." A woman who is hurting is not yet ready to embrace the relationship they deserve. A woman who is hurting needs to be healed before they can be given in to the relationship that they deserve. Until she is totally healed, she will continue to hurt, and in some cases may even take the lives of men. The cycle of pain is real. You may have your pain, you may have your agonies, you may have your issues that needs to be forgiven. For the process of restoration, which is healing as you become whole. I want you to acknowledge that not everything that happens to you means it's your fault. You did not go out asking to be hurt and abused, mistreated, refused, rejected, neglected, and as a dignified human being, you deserve to be whole like anyone else. It is important that we engage in the healing cycle. You may come to the realization of your loss, your pain, you begin to panic. Then there is a suppression of grief and fear. You start to ask yourself the question, why me?
and then you look at that which was done, and your desire for justice and revenge becomes kindled. But you can create the right history by allowing time to heal the wound. Injury, the pain, the shock, the denial, all needs time to heal. As time progresses, mourning, expression, grief takes precedence. Then the loss is accepted. We name it, confront it, and remove all fears. We then move into rehumanizing the enemy. We surrender. We choose to forgive as we commit to take that risk. We establish justice, admitting guilt and public apologies as needed. Then there is establishment of justice. There's a review of the history. There is a negotiation between the two parties. There is a joint planning. And then there is reconciliation. Psalms 55 and verse 22 says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Believe on his promises. Believe in him." Look at Joseph. He went to the pit. Then he went to the palace. He went from the palace into the cell. And then from the cell back to the palace. God's arms hold the universe. Let him hold you also. Psalms 46 and verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. 1 Peter 5, verse 6 through 7 says, "Humble thyself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you." When your burdens are heavy, when your labors weigh you down, just remember, cast them upon Jesus. Cast them upon God. Exercise humility, accepting that it is not your intention to carry these burdens, to carry the energy of negativity. Just cast them upon him. I want you to always remember that God knows your heart and he will not ignore you. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11 says to us, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." The good news is your hurting is only temporary. Lamentations 3 verse 22 through 23 says, "It is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." Psalms 30 verse 5 says to us, "For anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." God wants you to have this joy. He wants you to have the peace that passeth all understanding. He wants you to be restored, reconciliated, and made whole. It is the intention of this session that you would have discovered if you have healed or if you are still hurting. If you are healed, continue to walk upright. And for those who are still overcoming the vicissitudes of trauma and drama, it may just be the time for you to get the help you need. Hurt people hurt other people. Healed people restore others. What are you doing? Are you hurting others, or are you aiding in the restoration of others? Today, I submit to you to make God Lord of all, or inadvertently, you will choose for him not to be Lord at all. Until next time, signing out is Kareem Ainsley, loved by women, respected by men. Peace, love, respect. For those who have been moved by the Spirit to make open communication, feel free to do so using our VIP section, the comments. And if you'd like to reach out to me, the communication address is listed below. Those whose hearts have been impressed to contribute to the ministry, you can do so using the information in the description. Thank you for your time, and do enjoy edification, elevation, encouragement,
empowerment, and emancipation as you allow yourself to assimilate the information within the context of a biblical understanding, with the expectancy that you exercise wisdom in deciding your trajectory for now and eternity.